No, we're not going to talk about that. Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Protectors Podcast. My friends, actual friends, which is tough when you have friends on because we end up talking for a half hour before we start hitting our record button. But Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson are back because they have another incredible book coming out. Darkfall. I love these titles, Darkfall. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, it's great to be here, man. Hopefully this will be as fun as the last half hour was. I don't know.
It's definitely going to be as fun as the last half hour. We're talking guns. Yeah. Whenever we talk, we might as well throw in some guns there. So we did talk about Henry rifles. We did talk about Wilson Combat. We talked about Smith & Wesson. We talked about just different guns. And we went off on tangents about guns because we love guns. And there's nothing wrong with loving guns.
Right. That's right.
I can see a lot of action in Darkfall. The next one.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're going to do it, it's got to be a Henry, right? Oh my gosh.
It's got to be Henry.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
There's something
Darkfall about Darkfall is sort of like, you know, our Return of the Jedi. You know, you read the first two, I think, in the series. I think we just got you Darkfall, right? But it's sort of a trilogy, you know, and this sort of caps off that first trilogy in the Shepherd series. So we really, really up the stakes in this one. And I think people are going to really like it.
It's my favorite of the three. I mean, yeah. I loved all of them. You can't talk bad about your kids, right? But this one's special. Yeah, we went to another level on that one. But no Henry rifle. If only we had thought of it. I'm already like, where would we have put it? Oh, there or there? Actually, Dark Intercept would have been a good place for a Henry
rifle. Yeah.
The thing about rifles like that, so I love high caliber guns, you know, like 44 mag pistols and stuff like that. But when it comes like I have a Henry 44 Magnum, and now that I have the 44 Magnum, I kind of wish I had a 45-70. I just want the bigger, the better round. I want, when I shoot it, I want to feel it. Cause when you're shooting a 44 out of this thing, it feels like you're shooting a 22. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
You're going to be sponsored by some field artillery piece at some point.
You know what? When I first went in the Army, I was a 13 Bravo field artilleryman. So cannon crew member, that's what it was back then.
So Henry rifle, that's still a little gun to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how badass that would be. Like, imagine rolling into combat and you're the guy whipping out the old lever action. Got me thinking now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have that shoulder, like a back, you know.
Mm-hmm. Holster. Like Romancing the Stone, where you had the shotgun.
Exactly.
I could see a protagonist, you know, or a protagonist, someone on a team's got to have a lever action, like a special applications lever action. They need like a really big caliber or something like that.
Yeah.
You got a few
Jeff, we might have to write a book specifically for a piece of gear.
For the Henry rifle?
Yeah. To come up with a whole novel just to make this.
Just to showcase the Henry. That would not be hard to do. I can think of projects we have in the works where a Henry rifle would be a really nice fit.
Even like a short, something like that. I thought about starting a competition where it's like kind of like a quasi-modern, because they have sports action shooting or cowboy action shooting where you have to have it. And I just bought a revolver, cowboy revolver, go figure, from Taylor Firearms. But I thought about something like, I have these, the Henry, and it's got the Ranger Point Precision, so it looks like a modern gun. So I thought about like that plus 45s. You have to have 1911s. So 1911 and lever action. I think that'd be a badass competition.
That would be.
It's got to be 45 too. We're not talking.
Start that.
I am.
Yeah.
Literally,
as he was saying it, it was done.
You know what, Jeff? I'm gonna have to backtrack. About a month and a half ago, I decided I'm gonna do that. I'm like, they don't have anything like that out there. Why not?
Yeah.
45 lever action. Boom.
Fun.
Are you going to do it in a kill house or on a field?
No, it's got to be a field.
You got to do a course, right?
Yeah, it's got to be, because a kill house would be, now you got me thinking too.
But you could have both. You could have both components. It could start in a kill house and transition to the field.
Oh, that would be perfect. So you clear the house with the 45.
Yeah.
Right? And then as you move out, you transition to the rifle, and then you have to shoot targets up to 200 meters.
That's the ticket.
And steel too, because there's nothing like hearing that ping. Yep.
Oh, this will be well, we're in. We have to.
You're in. Now you're gonna be like, you know, you guys are gonna be on there. Cause I'm looking around, I got all these lever actions. My first lever action was a Winchester 94 with a large loop. You know, like the rifle one.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like you don't spin it like he spins it, I hope. Remember on that old show?
Yeah, how I know. I'm like, what do you think? Of course I do now. So we got lever actions. We got Dark Falls coming out. When's it coming out?
November 8th. Right around the corner.
Yep.
I never know when books are coming out because I always get the advanced copies. I'm very, very, very fortunate about that.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have.
You guys have a lot of good things going on. One thing I did want to bring you guys up today and talk about was transition. Cause the pre-show, we talked about transition, like from the military into your next career. But when you start getting older, or when you start like even younger, you go from college to a military to whatever, you transition 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Now the first transition is pretty tough. You kind of, you know, what am I going to do? But at certain areas you're like, huh, what are the lessons I learned from transition? So what I want to ask both of you guys, and answer whatever you want, is just give me your top 5 transition, like reflections or your transition, you know, kind of lessons learned.
Yeah. I mean,
Andrews and Wilson top 5.
Yeah. The Andrews.
There we go. That should be a new show. That's cool. That should be a show itself.
We have a lot of, this is something we have a passion for, as you know, especially on the military back to civilian side. But as you frame it the way you did, Jason, with the idea that life is a series of transitions, it occurs to me that probably the number one thing that I would advise people is to not shy away from transition. I meet so many people that are trapped, or they're self-trapped in something that they don't have a passion for because transitioning seems too frightening. And those of us that have served in the military, that's inevitable, right? That transition you have to have. And so we're sort of prepared for it, although we never really do it as well as we think we're gonna. And it's sort of built into the system. We have to do it. But, you know, I worked in medicine for a time, as you know. I know so many physicians, when they find out that I'm, you know, writing or I'm flying or I'm doing whatever else I'm doing, they're like, oh man, what I wouldn't give if I only had something else. I hate what I do. And you're like, well, dude, then stop doing it. Like, we don't live in a country where you're told what your job is and you're stuck there for 50 years. So my number one would be embrace transition. Don't be afraid of finding that next season, finding the thing that gives you passion. Don't let yourself be trapped in something you've lost a passion for because you're afraid to transition.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I think that's number one for me too. So if I'm going to tack on to that, I think number two is if you go into that mentality of, okay, I'm going to embrace my transition. Now think that the next thing you're going to say is, well, what are my skill sets? My skill sets are not transferable. You're thinking, I was a sonar technician. I can't go out there in the corporate world and be a sonar technician. There's no job postings for that. You need to reframe what your skills are. You have a lot of transferable skills. In fact, I would argue that, you know, people who have been in military service have better transferable skills than people who have not, because you're put into positions of authority and responsibility at a much younger age than your counterparts are. So you could say, well, I'm just this guy who's sitting at a sonar terminal. No, you're in charge. Your ability to do your job is putting you in the charge of the lives of 100 souls, you know, you executing your job properly. And you're also, you know, depending on where you are in the rank structure, you have people reporting to you, and you're doing quality control and maintenance. You have leadership training, communication. You know, if you're getting involved with ordering, you know, think about, I'm in the supply chain. That's, how do I transfer? Oh no, that's business, right? Basically you're maintaining a schedule of objectives that need to be done. So reframe, take a look at your skill sets, and then try to find commercial or civilian language to just change the words. And suddenly you'll realize, wow, I do have a saleable resume.
I think that's enormous. That's a really big one. And I think it's something we talk to our fellow military and veterans about all the time, because you know, even at the very elite level, operators from, you know, very elite units still feel like, well, what am I going to do? I can go be an operator with khaki, or I can be a contractor or whatever. And they don't see what Brian is talking about. This idea that, you know, kicking in a door and clearing a room is actually a fairly tiny part of what that overall skill set is. It's the leadership, it's the camaraderie, it's the teamwork, it's the ability to think on your feet and be creative. And it turns out on the civilian side, there's a lot of words that describe what you do that are very, very desirable in a number of sets. I have a few friends from the day when I was with the JSOC unit who have made that, both of those transitions. I have lots of friends that contracted for a while, but I have friend, like a good friend of mine is now a vice president of HR for this huge healthcare company. Well, he was a 18 Delta SEAL combat medic in the JSOC. A lot of those guys don't think of themselves on the business side. They go be PAs or whatever, but he kind of had a passion for the leadership side. So I think you're right on, Brian. That's a huge one. And I think it's really, maybe that one may be more challenging for military folks than some other folks, because we don't see how being a sonar technician translates or how being an operator translates. That's a good one. I didn't come up with a third one though, did I? That's what I was
thinking. Well, we have passion, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then reframing skills. I love that one, reframing skills, because we're always transitioning. You know, I mean, always, and we're always transitioning to different skill sets, but we've already had the base. You know, you have the base skill set, and whether that's a sonar tech, you're a leadership, whether you're in an operating room, you're a leader. It's all these different things you've had in the military concept. You've always been in a leadership position, regardless if you've been in E4, E3, E5, on up to general or whatever. You've always been in some type of leadership situation.
And just sort of dovetailing off of what Jeff said there a second ago, which is you kind of did mention a third one in one sense. You said, you know, you've reached out to these other guys, you know, and I think that you've done, you know, we together, you know, we're a perfect example. We found community among other veterans. So I think number three for us would be, you're not alone. Okay. You're not alone. Other people have done this before you and succeeded. So reach out to Jeff or me or guys from your unit that transitioned a few years before you, or reach out to Jason Piccolo. Reach out to us, because, you know, none of us got to where we are alone. You know, we've had many veterans who've reached down their hand to pull us up another notch on the author writing ladder rung. You know, they've made connections for us. And so there's an incredible community of veterans out there who are just waiting for somebody to call them up so they can repay the type of favors that were done for them.
Yeah, that brotherhood doesn't end when you get your DD-214. You think it does. You feel this complete loss of identity because you defined yourself by your role in your unit or your team or what your MOS is, whatever. And you forget that those brothers are still out there. They didn't like evaporate. They didn't get transported to some other planet. They're out there doing stuff too, right? And so they've got stuff that they can share with you, and they've got things they can lift you up. Like Brian is saying, that brotherhood never stops. And that's been the most impressive, amazing thing for us on our journey, is because we are so intentional about interacting with other veterans and stuff. That brotherhood is unchanged. It is still out there. I got people I can call that I served with in 2005 that I can call tomorrow and they'd be like, what can I do for you? So you got to remember that. That's a really powerful part of the whole thing. And that's not unique to the military, but it's big in the military. That's for sure.
Yeah. The networking, you're not alone.
Yeah.
So passion, reframe the skills, networking, and you're not alone. That's a big thing. The networking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
We were talking to, I think you've had Tim on your show, Tim Cruikshank, mm-hmm. with Bone Frog Coffee. We were talking to him the other day and he said, you know, it's just exciting and scary, but amazing that here I am, I'm 50 plus years old, and I am starting a new business from scratch, right? And I think, you know, you look at that and you say, it is never too late to start a new business. You know, if you have the passion, which we already talked about, and the ideas, and you're not afraid to fail. And I think that's an important one to mention, you know, because I think all of us in the military, we're so, especially by the time, you know, if you've been in, you know, you've had a lot of victories, you know, in your career, and you've made it so far. And I think there's this fear of, I'm going to get out there and make a fool of myself. You know, I might fail. And I think, you know, that's maybe one area where the civilian world, civilian entrepreneurs maybe have an advantage over us, because they fail a lot. And some of the most successful entrepreneurs you look, talk to, you know, venture capitalists or whatever, they'll say the founders of the companies they fund are the founders who say, well, I fail on this and I fail on this and I failed on this, but along the way, I learned all these things. And now this company is the one. I'm ready to go. So don't be afraid of failure. It's, you're probably going to fail.
and you can sympathize with the military guys who, yeah, especially over the last 20 years, because failure was defined by loss of life. And so failure is definitely something to be avoided. So you do have to change your mindset. We're very blessed to be with Blackstone as our publisher, one of a couple that we work with. And Josh Stanton is the CEO of that company. And when we went out and we toured with him, he's a really impressive guy. I mean, he's like an everyman, smartest guy in the room, doesn't come across like he knows he's the smartest guy in the room. We just have a lot of respect for him. But the thing that really resonated with me when we were doing that tour, I know Brian's already remembered what I'm going to say. He was talking about the different things that they've tried as they've grown that company into what it's become. And he said, you know, the reason that we're so outside of the box is because we don't even believe in failure. Like, I don't think there's any such thing as failure. We have some things that definitely lost money or we wish we had done. But I define those things not as a failure, but as a great lesson that we learned that built on the next success. So that mindset of not being afraid of failure, not even looking at failure as failure, but an experiment to learn something that leads to an even bigger success, can save you so much heartache and empower you to do the things that need to be done. So yeah, that's a huge one. I think we have five. The pressure's off. Anything we come up with now, Jason's gonna be like, oh, that's just a bonus.
Well, I really enjoy that. So what I got is passion, reframer skills, networking. It's never too late. That's a good one. It's never too late, because as I'm transitioning into be 50 here in a couple months, into another career, another life, another whatever. Well, not really another whatever, because I kind of started the base. And then don't be afraid to fail.
There it is. All right. Thanks. Good night.
Nah, gentlemen, I really appreciate that. And that's excellent advice. And I love having you guys back on.
We love talking to you, man. Anytime at all.
Dark fall in November. I love it.
November 8th. www.andrews-wilson.com. We got a lot of fun announcements coming up.
Oh, talk about fun announcements. You all have got to follow their socials. I may need to help you guys out with that social media presence too. I think that's we're gonna have to start getting some daily posts by the duo here.
I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. If you will write two of the four books we have to write every year, we'll do a better
job
with social media.
Listen, I'll stay in my lane. Let's talk guns and we'll talk podcasting.